Naval Ravikant, he talks about how the future of work will, you basically just log onto your phone in the morning and you'll have some jobs that you can do. And I think if any company has the potential to really make that vision a reality, it's Fiverr.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Investing City podcast, where the goal is to get better at investing, business, and life. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. It really means a lot. Without further ado, enjoy this episode. The following is presented for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. This information must not be relied upon in making any investment decision. Investing City cannot be held responsible for any type of loss incurred by applying any of the information presented. Furthermore, securities discussed in this podcast may be held by Investing City and members thereof. Thank you.
What's up, everyone? Today we're going to be diving into a company that was the most recent pick in our Dynasty portfolio. If you're interested in checking out that research service, you can check it out on our website. And the last time we've done this was actually Pinterest a few years back, pretty early on in the podcast. And I think the stock has done pretty well since that. I think it's up 3x in a couple of years. So no guarantees on this company of the same performance, but it's a company that I'm pretty interested in, and just kind of want to dive into the thesis and go through a few of the things that I've been looking at and kind of just break it down. So without further ado, let's jump right into the stock. So this stock is Fiverr. The ticker is FVRR, and it's really benefited from COVID. Plain and simple. I mean, the company was growing steadily at 40% for the past couple years since it IPO'd, and in the past three quarters, it's really accelerated. In the last quarter, growth was 87%, and guidance for next quarter is 81%, which I'm fairly confident that they'll beat that. Who knows, they could even reach 90%, which, I mean, any company that's growing 90%, I try to take a look at, just because, I mean, that amount of demand is really interesting, especially for a marketplace model. So let's talk about Fiverr and just kind of the business model to start out. So Fiverr is a two-sided marketplace and connects freelancers, which they call sellers, meaning they're selling their services, and then buyers on the other side, which are usually small businesses or anybody that really needs a service. And so it's just this service slash freelance marketplace. So Fiverr, if you've ever heard of Upwork, Upwork is probably the biggest competitor. And the business model is fairly simple. So they take 20% of the seller's money, and there's also a 5% charge for the buyer. But it's actually a $2 service fee for anything under $40. So if you think about $40, $2 is still 5% of that. But you think about if you go lower than $40, let's say the service, the actual fee is $20. The service fee is still $2. So it's actually a 10% take rate on the buyer's end. So let's think about a hypothetical scenario. Let's say you own a small business and you're starting a podcast. So you think, hey, it'd be great to offer listeners transcripts. So you head to Fiverr, make an account, and you hire somebody to edit your podcasts and do transcripts. And let's say they charge you $20. So out of that $20, you are actually going to be charged $2. So that's a 10% take rate on your end. And then Fiverr also takes 20% on the seller's end. So out of that $20 fee, Fiverr is actually taking 30% of that, 20% from the seller and 10% from you. So that's a pretty steep take rate, which is kind of interesting. Just to give some context on some other take rates, Amazon third-party marketplace is around 25%, eBay is around 10%, and there's various levels, but take rate really comes down to a few things. One thing that's really important is demand generation. So can the sellers kind of sit back and let Fiverr bring clients to them? Because if you think about that, that is super valuable, rather than the sellers having to go out and advertise, use Facebook ads all over the internet, create this website, all of this work. Or you can kind of just sign up on Fiverr and then clients will come to you. And so this is the interesting thing about Fiverr is their model. So they call it a service as a product model. SAAP to kind of go off of the SaaS lingo, but the service as a product model is really reminiscent of an e-commerce model. So if you log on a Fiverr site, it's pretty much like Amazon, where you have all of these tabs that, you know, digital marketing, writing, podcasts, all of these categories that you can kind of browse and peruse as a buyer. And what's interesting about that is it's very different than the Upwork model. So if you've ever used Upwork, which I actually have, and you kind of create a job description for whatever service you want. So let's say, go back to our podcast transcript example, you would fill it out saying how long the podcast is, what you're looking for, and then sellers actually bid on that job. So you'll get an influx of bids, and then you have to sort of sort through all of those and understand what's the best price point, what's the best reviews on this seller, and all of this. So what's kind of interesting about this is, from the seller's point of view, they're actively bidding on this job. So it's not like they can just kind of sit back and let Fiverr bring all the clients to them. In this case, it would be Upwork. And Fiverr is kind of flips that on its head, where the buyer does most of the work to kind of understand what the reviews are and the price, and then it's boom, just a transaction is made, because they are perusing individual profiles versus Upwork. The actual buyer is listing a job description and then the sellers are bidding on that. So it's a pretty different model, and it kind of results in a different take rate, because Fiverr is very effective at connecting these buyers and sellers. And just to kind of talk about that network effect, the network effect and the flywheel is not really complicated. I mean, last quarter, Fiverr in 1 year added 800,000 buyers. So they now have over 3 million individual buyers, which is really interesting. I mean, in 1 year, they've essentially added more than 25% of their entire buyer market, which just shows how much traction they're really getting from the buy side. And if you think about, more buyers means that more sellers are going to come to this marketplace, because that's where the demand is, right? And then more sellers means that there's more network liquidity, meaning it's really easy for buyers and sellers to transact and discover each other. And then more network liquidity means happier buyers. And then it's kind of this virtuous cycle, more buyers, more sellers, etc. So it's pretty, you know, it's not like this brain, mind-blowing network effect, but it just really goes to show that Fiverr is doing an amazing job of attracting buyers, which is then attracting sellers. And I want to talk a little bit about Upwork, because they're the main competitor and they've done some interesting things. So they reported earnings a couple weeks ago and the stock was actually up 40%, which is pretty crazy. They grew about 25%, which was much better than estimates. But they announced something that was a clear shot to Fiverr. So they announced a beta that they've been working on called Product Catalog. And it's essentially a Fiverr copycat. So I was talking about the differences between Upwork and Fiverr, and Upwork has essentially created a beta product that is the same exact thing as Fiverr, with this e-commerce-like model and the service as a product model. And I mean, analysts were pretty interested, but I think it, rather than it being explicitly terrible for Fiverr, I think it's sort of validation that Fiverr has a more interesting model. I mean, Upwork has been around for much longer. It was the result of a merger between two companies, Elance and Odesk. And Fiverr, you know, it started up around 2010 with the founder, Micah Kaufman. And he really believed in this model. And here we are 10 years later, and it looks like Upwork is sort of capitulating that Fiverr is a more interesting model, because it really services the core client, which is the seller. If you think about the actual take rate, so Fiverr's take rate is roughly 27% blended between the service fee and their take rate on the seller side. So that 27%, the vast majority of that is taken from the seller. And, right, because the seller take rate is 20%, and then you add in the rest for the buyer, which is at $2 under 40, and then 5% over anything that is overall cost of $40. So the majority of that 27% take rate is on the seller side. And Fiverr really caters to them, making sure that they have high demand, and they're doing a great job of bringing in buyers. And then all of these sellers have to do is kind of sit back and then just get a bunch of leads, which is a really interesting model, because let's say you're a seller and maybe you're a really good software engineer and you want to use Fiverr in your free time, but you really don't have the time to go out and get leads and make sure that your social media profiles are super updated and you're doing like Google Analytics and Google AdWords and all this stuff. Or you can kind of post your profile on Fiverr and you can sit back and the demand generation is done for you. So maybe you set your price at 100 and it takes 20%, Fiverr takes 20%, but you're still left with $80 maybe in an hour. And so if you think about it that way, the take rate is a little bit more tolerable, because it's sort of like a cherry on top. These freelancers weren't necessarily betting that they're going to make a ton of money off of this, but if the demand is in your lap and you can provide the services that are they're useful to a buyer, then maybe the take rate is reasonable after all. So I think that's maybe a question that a lot of people would have is, isn't 27% an unsustainable take rate? I mean, Amazon has clearly shown that 25% is very viable. I mean, third-party marketplace as a percentage of overall e-commerce for Amazon, it continues to increase, and the demand generation is there. And Fiverr is taking pages out of Amazon's playbook. They actually just started rolling out what they call promoted gigs. So Fiverr sellers can essentially buy ad slots to kind of boost their marketability and make sure that their profiles are seen more than others. And so that's kind of embedding that demand generation. And so my kind of meta thesis on that is, okay, even if that 27% sort of takes a hit and maybe it's not as sustainable, maybe there's a little bit of backlash from sellers, I think with things like promoted gigs, it can sort of boost that and make sure it's a little bit more resilient. The other thing is that Fiverr has over 300,000 sellers, so it's not like they're very concentrated, and so the sellers are extremely fragmented, so they don't necessarily have a huge leverage against Fiverr to really say, hey, you know, this 20% is way higher than we expected, and we're not going to be on your platform. Well, if the buyers are there, the sellers will be there. They don't really have that leverage. And the thing about Upwork is that's really the main alternative. And under $5,000, Upwork's take rate for smaller sellers is still 20%. So it's not like Upwork has, you know, this way lower take rate that's much better than Fiverr's. It's still 20%. But Upwork has a tiered model. So it's more focused on mid-market companies and sort of enterprise companies. So Upwork has this tiered model where after $500 in lifetime billings, the take rate actually goes from 20% and drops down to 10%. So between $500 and $10,000 in lifetime billings, it's 10%. And then over $10,000, the take rate actually drops all the way down to 5%. So if you think about this, it makes sense for an enterprise client who might rehire a lot of the same freelancers using Upwork service. And when they do a huge amount of volume, they want a discount on that. So that's why the take rate is a little bit more affected. And that actually comes out to a blended take rate for Upwork of 13%, which is essentially exactly half of Fiverr's overall take rate. And it kind of goes to show you that a really fragmented supplier base on a marketplace, it means that Fiverr can kind of leverage a higher take rate and take a little bit more because those smaller clients just don't have as much leverage as, say, a bigger client on Upwork. So one kind of interesting stat on Upwork is that one client actually makes up 11% of revenue. So for a pure marketplace model, I mean, if you think about Fiverr, 3 million buyers and 300,000 sellers, if one client made up 11% of revenue, that really wouldn't be that distributed and fragmented of a supplier base. But Upwork, on the other hand, one customer makes up 11%, which kind of shows you that it's not as pure of a marketplace model. So for instance, Upwork actually has a segment of their business called managed services, and it's kind of like a services segment that is a full-fledged HR arm. So if you want to just outsource all of your HR services to make sure that you can hire freelancers really easily, you could use Upwork. And there's rumors that 11% client is Microsoft or Google. Upwork doesn't actually call that out specifically, but it just kind of goes to show you that Fiverr is much more distributed, and that's another reason why they can take a higher take rate. So that's kind of a little bit on competition and a little bit on the moat. I think that the interesting thing is Fiverr is bringing in so many buyers, which really improves that network liquidity, and there's kind of that virtuous cycle. So to talk a little bit about the business's economics, Fiverr has some incredible gross margins. So gross margins last quarter were about 84%. That's much better than Upwork's 70% gross margins. And another example is Etsy is another marketplace model. They have 70% gross margins, Uber at 50. So there's all these other marketplace models that have inferior gross margins to Fiverr. And that's just another example of really Fiverr's amazing ability at attracting buyers. So if you think about what's in the cost of revenue segment for a company like this, usually a big piece is support. So making sure that if anybody has questions, they can reach support. So usually call center costs will go into the COGS of a software company or a marketplace model like this. And Fiverr really does an amazing job of really automating a lot of things. So one example of this is it doesn't have a direct sales force at all. So Upwork does have a pretty large, and they've actually cut it down a little bit in the last few quarters, but Upwork has a full direct sales force that goes around to companies, making sure that they know about Upwork and maybe giving them deals and enterprise deals. But Fiverr is incredibly organic. So a fun fact of Fiverr is they didn't do any paid marketing for the first 6 years of their business, which is really amazing. I mean, the company, it's just a rare story of the really product market fit getting clicked in immediately, and just this network started really growing almost immediately, which is pretty crazy. But the business has very solid economics. The company is now GAAP profitable. They're free cash flow positive, and they have a ton of operating leverage in the business model. I mean, as I talked about at the beginning, revenue really accelerated over 80%, and a ton of that dropped down to the bottom line. I mean, last year they were losing about 30 cents for every dollar of revenue, and then this year they are already GAAP profitable, which is pretty crazy in terms of the amount of operating leverage in just 1 year. So that's an interesting thing on Fiverr's economics. It's a marketplace model, very asset light, and it's kind of this can reinvest capital at very high reinvestment rates. So the economics of Fiverr are clearly really solid, and just kind of want to talk about a few risks. So we talked a lot about the take rate, that 27% being sustainable, and I think things like the promoted gigs will be really helpful, because on these models, especially with Upwork, if you think about the buyer making a job description and then the seller's bidding on it, there's really a real incentive for the seller to make sure that they're the lowest price. So it creates this race to the bottom effect, where since the seller is seeing all of these bids, they can kind of choose from each one of them. And it's essentially the same thing on Fiverr's model, because there's this huge selection. But what's interesting is Fiverr's model really caters to quality. So when you log on to Fiverr's site, you will see the people with the best reviews. And now that they're rolling out promoted gigs, you might see the people that can really reinvest back into the Fiverr platform and make sure that they're seen more. And then they'll get more reviews. And then it's kind of this virtuous cycle on actually the seller side. So it kind of creates this race to the top. So that's what the CEO of Fiverr calls it, rather than this race to the bottom, because the sellers with the most reviews will kind of get pushed to the top, making sure that the work done on the Fiverr platform is really quality. And then since those sellers have the most reviews, they probably have the most money, which they can then reinvest back into promoted gigs and then get found even more. And so this is what Micah Kaufman, the CEO, calls the race to the top. So that's just another piece of evidence that might lead you to believe that Fiverr's take rate is somewhat sustainable because of this really this incentive model around quality sellers. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is just Fiverr is not enterprise software, so you can't think of this revenue really as recurring. So this isn't necessarily a risk in the classic sense, but it's something to really think about because Fiverr's valuation is definitely at the high end of, you know, valuations, just because the company is growing very quickly. It's already profitable and things like that. So one interesting fact is that buyers with annual spend of more than $500, they actually make up 57% of revenue. So that's, it just kind of goes to show you that Fiverr is doing a good job of bringing back buyers to the platform rather than them just, you know, spending 20 bucks here and there. Another fun fact is that Fiverr actually started out with only $5 gigs. That's why the company's name is Fiverr. So they only had $5 gigs. They just wanted to make it super easy to connect buyers and sellers for very low value transactions. But they've done a great job of slowly migrating up market. One other example is Fiverr for Business. So they just rolled this out and it's competing a little bit with Upwork, kind of at the mid-market segment. And they're offering that for the first year for free to really incentivize adoption. And it's only $190 after the first year or something like that. But they offer a few more capabilities where it really incents bigger companies to use Fiverr because they have a few extra features that really just make it easier for enterprises to use Fiverr services. So that's Fiverr kind of moving a little bit upmarket. And next I want to talk about the management team. So it was founded by Micah Kaufman and Shai Wininger. Fun fact is that Shai actually went on to help found Lemonade, the insurance technology company. And Micah is still around. So he owns about 7% of shares. He is a serial entrepreneur. This is his fifth business. He started out his career as a lawyer and then shifted into technology and really just had the bug for entrepreneurship. His first company was a cybersecurity company and he really didn't know anything about business or cybersecurity and he just figured it out. He didn't know anything about incorporating or just really nothing about the business world, but he figured it out and slowly but surely grew the business. And that was in 2003, and here we are 17 years later, and he's grown Fiverr into a $5 billion company, which is pretty amazing. But it just goes to show that he is a grinder, he is just figures things out, and I just love to find entrepreneurs that have started a bunch of companies. So Anthony Wood, which is the CEO and founder of Roku, he started Roku. And the reason it's named Roku is because Roku means six in Japanese, because Roku's his sixth company. So things like that, I really find interesting. Micah Kaufman is a serial entrepreneur. I mean, he gets great ranks on Glassdoor, 96% employee approval rating, 91% of employees would recommend working there to a friend. So really just a strong company culture. You notice from listening to interviews and other things that Fiverr, it really is an interesting place to work. They actually hire a lot of their employees on the Fiverr platform to do one-off jobs and even actual actual work in the company, they really utilize their own platform, which I think is interesting. This concept of dog fooding, where a company uses its own product a lot, I think that is really fascinating as well. So just to kind of tie a bow on things, I want to talk a little bit about valuation. So Fiverr is roughly, at the time of recording this, it's under a $5 billion enterprise value, but trailing sales are only $170 million. So if you think about that, it's like over 25 times trailing sales, which, I mean, maybe these days people are used to, but it just goes to show you that the valuation is definitely elevated. But if you think about on a forward basis, so I think Fiverr could very well grow 90% next quarter, and let's say it grows 60% next year, that will get you to more than $250 million in sales, which takes that 25 times multiple and brings it down to basically less than 20 times on a forward basis, which is, you know, still high, but on a gross profit basis, which is really interesting, that's actually more like 22 times forward gross profit, which if you think about at maturity, Fiverr's operating margins could be 30%, and 30% is just a little bit less than half of Fiverr's gross margins. So if you just do a quick math, then 22 times forward gross profit would be roughly like 50 times earnings, where, I mean, the company is growing earnings much faster than 100%. So if you think of 50 times earnings and 100% earnings growth, that is like fairly reasonable, but obviously the operating margins are not 30% nowadays, so you can't kind of just hypothetically slap that on. So that is like a very high level valuation, but let's kind of zoom it in a little bit. So the company right now has just over 3 million active buyers. And from here on out, I think it's reasonable that the company could add 1 million active buyers every year. So let's just use that math, which would be, you know, it's fast, definitely fast growth, because the overall user base, I mean, buyer base is 3 million. So it would be, you know, 30% buyer growth for every, for the recent years. And then if you think about the last year, let's say the company eventually in 6 years has 9 million buyers. For it to go from 9 million to 10 million, that's only, you know, like 11% buyer growth. So it'll definitely decelerate, because 30% every single year is not super reasonable. But let's say the absolute number, that 1 million, is consistent. So in 7 years, that means that there'll be about 10 million active buyers on Fiverr's platform. If we just use that number, and the company right now has an average revenue per buyer of roughly, it's roughly like 200 right now. So in 7 years, if the company can grow that on average to be 15%, then the average spend is gonna be roughly like $540. So that is, you know, not too high. We already said that Fiverr, 57% of its revenue is buyers that spend over $500. So if you think about the majority of the buyers spending over 500, it's very reasonable. And the company, pretty much since the IPO, has grown average revenue per buyer like 4% sequentially, which you can kind of, if you annualize that, it's more, you know, it's 16%. So 15%, I think it's very reasonable to kind of suspect that to continue to grow. And if you multiply those two together, right, 10 million buyers and $540 in average spend, that will get you to $5.4 billion in gross service volume, meaning the amount of services that is actually flowing through the platform. And at Fiverr's roughly 30% take rate, that's $1.6 billion in revenue. So $1.6 billion in revenue on roughly $4.8 billion in enterprise value. That's 3x sales. But then again, you know, this is 2027 numbers, which is, you know, a very far way out. So these are just guesstimates, but I think it's pretty reasonable to, if we use that 30% operating margin, the company can, you know, get to, let's say, $500 million in free cash flow in 7 years. And $500 million on today's, let's call it, let's just use easy numbers, $5 billion in enterprise value, that's a 10% free cash flow yield 7 years out. So what's a reasonable multiple on free cash flow in 7 years when the company is growing maybe 15% since it's adding buyers at roughly like a 10% rate? So what's a reasonable free cash flow multiple? I mean, we don't really know. This is kind of just back of the envelope stuff, but call it 30 times. So 30 times on $500 million in free cash flow, that will get you to $15 billion in enterprise value. So a 3x in 7 years, I mean, I will take that all day long, 3x in 7 years. This is obviously not a fact or anything, but that comes out to 17% annualized. And if you add in a little bit of cash build, I mean, 17% annualized, I will take that. So this is, like I said, not a for sure thing, but I think it's reasonable to suspect that the company can add 1 million buyers every single year. And, you know, that flywheel will just only get stronger the more buyers that are added, the more sellers there will be. And then I want to zoom out completely. I think the role of work is really changing these days. I mean, we've seen it with COVID, and like a lot of companies are going to remote work, and you can really take talent from around the world and bring it into your organization. And I think Fiverr is kickstarting that. We're really only seeing the early days of this, where, you know, they started out with those $5 transactions connecting freelancers. But I think the overall nature of work is kind of morphing, and I think Fiverr will be at the forefront of this. I mean, it's hard to tell right now what will happen, but I think that the market size could be much bigger than we think it is. So similar to how Uber, if you've ever seen the original Uber pitch deck, you see that they only focused on the black car market, and it was like a $1 billion market or something. And here they are, however many years later, doing like $13 billion in revenue. So when things are made much easier, so when the transaction costs are lowered a ton, that really kickstarts a glut of demand that we really couldn't have predicted. And I think it'll be a similar effect with Fiverr, because everybody can now be connected. You can have access to the best coders, the best digital marketers all over the world, and Fiverr is really that mechanism that connects the two parties and then just takes a cut of it. So maybe people will keep their jobs and then do Fiverr on the side, or maybe people will be professional Fiverrs. It's hard to tell right now what will happen, but Naval Ravikant, he talks about how the future of work will, you basically just log onto your phone in the morning and you'll have some jobs that you can do. And I think if any company has the potential to really make that vision a reality, it's Fiverr. So don't want to get too like fantastical, but I think Fiverr is in a really interesting place, that the future of work is changing, and remote work and all of these effects, digital transformation, and, you know, all of these mega trends that I think that Fiverr would, you know, potentially benefit from all of these aspects. So this is the Fiverr thesis. I mean, it's pretty zoomed out, but if you're interested in learning more, or if you want, you know, all of our research, you can check out the Investing City site and reach out. Just, you know, we have been, you know, the portfolio has been doing very well. I'm really excited about the member base growing, and just wanted to kind of put this out there to share with you listeners, and just kind of go through the Fiverr thesis. So thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Investing City podcast. It really means the world to us. And before you go, we have a proposition. So please leave a review on iTunes It just would help us out so much. And if you do so, just email us. I left a review and we'll give you a gift. That's right. We'll give you a gift if you leave a review. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you.